We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah. Point is, that's one out of three, and who's to say?
Right.
The 49ers aren't going to, I don't want to say draft the wrong guy, but maybe the right guy's not there when they draft. I mean, and also happened Dibs and Goo in 1971. Jim Plunkett went one.
Yeah.
Archie Manning went two to New Orleans, and Dante Pastorini went number three that year, and I think it's going to happen again this year.
Yeah, that trio in 71, far better than the subsequent trio. Dante Pastorini, a.k.a. Dan Pastorini, would have had a much better career had he not been absolutely riddled with injuries. Jim Plunkett should be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
Oh, my God.
And Archie Manning, another guy who got just absolutely ravaged by a lack of an offensive line. I remember those early days with the single bar goo, watching Archie Manning just get thrown to the turf in New Orleans. Yeah, tough guy. Tough career, though, with the amount of punishment he took.
No doubt.
Yeah, I remember Archie Manning was one quarterback who it was acknowledged that he was great, even though he was on a bad team.
Right.
And I'm thinking, does that ever happen anymore? It's now the argument is, well, how good can he be if the team stinks? Well, he's good. He's really good. He's like Steph Curry. You know, I mean, you can only elevate the team to 500. Somebody's got to help at some point.
Well, I hear you.
Coming up momentarily, Jeff Kolpak. He's a longtime North Dakota State University football beat writer for Forum Communications. Of course, the San Francisco 49ers attended Trey Lance's pro day today in Fargo, and saw a little bit of footage on that. And also, Dibs, apparently Jeff Kolpak hosts a golf show. He hosts a golf show, so we might want to get into a little golf with Jeff Kolpak.
Yeah, what a great weekend for Stuart Sink, a 47-year-old who he actually won up in Napa about 8 months ago, and then he's got his son caddying. His son's got to be early 20s, and you watch him all weekend, and he and his boy are just spending time together, and dad's out there making pars, and he's kept the lead. He kept waiting for Stuart Sink to get caught by one of these young guns, but nope, not this weekend. And you see the big embrace, father and son on the 18th green yesterday. Made me feel a little, some kind of way, Goo. It made me feel warm. The old guy got a win with his boy on the bag.
I need some tissue stock. Was that the Napa Open, Diaz? What are they?
It was Safeway Open up at Silverado. Oh, okay. So Sink won that last year, which qualified him for the Masters. And then coming out of the Masters, they go down to South Carolina, one of Steiny's favorite places, Hilton Head. Stuart Sink had won there twice in the past, but usually guys in their late 40s, they don't win on the PGA Tour. But old Stu went out and had two amazing rounds and then two really good rounds, and he won the tartan jacket, Steiny, at Hilton Head.
Did he sink the putt to win? If you get one,
pun intended. Yeah. Yeah, he made a nice little par. He had one under round on the day.
All right, well, I'd like to introduce right now Jeff Kolpak, longtime North Dakota State University football beat writer for Forum Communications. Apparently he's got some golf expertise, too, and as long as we're talking sons, maybe I'll ask him about Gary Player's son, Wayne. Wayne, you're listening to the 95.7 The Game. San Francisco, you know where it's at. I don't have it in front of me. Let's introduce Jeff.
Diamond, you're doing a great job.
Jeff, welcome. Thank you so much. And the first question I'm going to ask you is, Were you at the pro day today of Trey Lance?
No, nobody was at the pro day. In fact, I just saw some video tweets from NDSU football Twitter, and it was a ghost town inside the Fargo Dome. I saw a couple coaches in the background and, of course, some NFL guys. You know, Trey had his pro day here 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, and it was pretty full then, and NFL personnel on hand was, I think, 30 out of 32 teams. Looked pretty light today, and I think it was just a few teams is what I gather from other reports, including your 49ers were here.
What do we need to know about Trey Lance? Those of us who didn't get much of a chance to watch North Dakota State football, how ready-made can he be to come in, especially into Kyle Shanahan's system, and be a quality pro?
Yeah, my comparison is with Carson Wentz. I covered Carson's pro day, and I mean, I probably covered Joe Kaff's pro day. I've been at this so long, but you know, I covered Carson's pro day in 2015. But he was different in that he was a fifth-year quarterback, a little more mature, obviously 23 years old. And, you know, he didn't have as many starts because he only started his last 2 years, and a lot of people don't know that. He sat for 3 years, including redshirt, before, you know, really coming on his last 2 years. But he just had a little more, I don't know, veteran, you know, leadership, I guess, about him, or veteran persona, at least, you know, just because of his age. Trey, the draft next week, when Trey can't even go out and have a beer after the draft. I mean, he ain't old enough. He's 20 years old, and it's just different. He went early as an FCS guy. I mean, I think quarterbacks going early is rare anyway. Well, I know so. But for an FCS guy, it is really off the charts. So there's just so much more unknown. But what I do know about Trey is the players love him around here. He's big. He's 6'4". He's 230 around that, rocket arm, smart kid, all academic guy. And so I think it's a matter, guys, if somebody's willing to take, you know, those risk factors of the fact that he's kind of young and just hasn't been around the block like Carson was.
Jeff, I'm one of these guys that always, you know, tries to find a comp for a player. And I'm telling you, I told my guys, I'm in love with what Lance has done on film, just throwing the ball at the pro days. But he kind of reminds me of a taller McNair or Donovan McNabb. Does anybody come to mind that's played in the league that this kid reminds you of?
No, not really. I mean, I don't know if you can compare, you know, McNabb was, he was at Elkhorn State. And that was, even though it's the same level, Division I FCS, it's a much lower level within the division. So I don't think you can compare the competition level there. It just sucks that the Bison are going to play Oregon this year, and that would have been like the game, right? That would have been the game they could really measure it up between an FBS, upper level FBS team, and NDSU, which is an upper level FCS team. So, well, we don't have that. So now you're left to, you know, with the measurables and the 40 times, which now are apparently miles per hour on GPS that he wore during a game. And I you're sort of rolling the dice here, but I think you're rolling the dice anyway on quarterbacks, you know, wherever you go. I always heard like Mac Jones now is going to the 49ers. They really like him, but does this mean they're having second thoughts? I don't know. You guys tell me. If they were all in love with Mac Jones, I don't even know why they'd be.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question that a lot of people are asking out here, Jeff, and we're being joined by Jeff Kolpak. He's a longtime North Dakota State University football beat writer for Forum Communications. That's kind of the point I get back to, Jeff, is that would the San Francisco 49ers really move two first-round picks and swap another to move up for and pick a guy with the least amount of information on his resume, you know, when it comes to Fields and when it comes to Mac Jones, for example. Like, nothing against the kid, but that would surprise me a little bit.
Yeah, you mean if they took Lance, that would...
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, but I do think he's one of the top four quarterback prospects. I mean, you gotta put that word out there as an emphasis on prospect. That, I mean, and looking ahead, is the quarterback draft next year going to be that good? Apparently not. So I think it's almost like a stock market frenzy. Once these quarterbacks start going, you're not going to be left out. And if he doesn't go to the 49ers, I think the Falcons, I mean, they've been really interested. I know they've talked to the Bison coaches at length. on Lance, and I think they're really interested. You know, nobody's going to really tell you what they're going to do, obviously, and give their hand. But if the 49ers, maybe they're here because they just wanted to make sure that Mac Jones is their guy and double check on a few things. But you know, Trey's got a strong arm, man. He can throw it a ton. He can throw it 70, 75 yards without a whole lot of effort. He's fast. I mean, he's athletic. He was a late bloomer. I mean, he's out of Marshall High School, and it's a small town in Minnesota. The Gophers wanted him. Minnesota wanted him as a linebacker, and he wanted to play quarterback. And I just think he came on toward the end of his high school career, and I think the big deal here is his quarterback's coach is a guy named Randy Hedberg, who played with the Buccaneers back in 1977. He was with the Raiders for a little bit, kind of a cup of coffee guy, but. He plays under a pro-style offense. So when Trey Lance goes to the line of scrimmage, he can change the play at the line of scrimmage. He's been in a huddle. He's under center. They run NFL-type schemes on their offense. And as a true freshman, they gave him the keys. I mean, he changed a lot of plays, and he studied his game. I think he's pretty smart that way. But, again, how will that all translate to the pro level? I think it's a pretty good start. I mean, I'd rather have that guy than somebody who is sitting there in the pistol and looks at the sideline and they tell him what to run.
And we've seen that a number of times out here and in the division. How much does just the one game sample last year affect maybe the perception of who Trey Lance is?
Yeah, you mean last fall when he threw his only interception in his college career? It wasn't the greatest game, but this whole year has just been nuts. I mean, I don't know if you can really take a whole lot of stock in that. I'm still covering football now. I mean, the FCS is playing in the spring. I'm knee-deep in a playoff game with Eastern Washington, which is this Saturday. And so, you know, it's just – and nobody's really into it. I mean, it's just different. It just – nobody right. feels – this is a football, huge, loving town. And nobody – the vibe is nobody really cares. It's like an asterisk season. So I don't know if you can – in that last fall game, there was, you know, a couple hundred people in the stands, and I don't know, it didn't feel like a football game.
Jeff, we were having some fun. We were, you know, like, what do you accomplish at a pro day? Are you a big pro day guy? Because we were like, the Niners, these teams know who they're going to draft already. They can't blow it or enhance. You a big pro day guy? Where do you come out on the pro day?
No, I don't know. Not really. I mean, Carson was – 67 out of 70 on his throws on pro day, and Lance was 60 out of 65, I want to say, on his pro day. Missed a couple long. I don't know. You never know if that's the receiver's fault, if he wasn't fast enough or whatever. I would think you just want to be there and see his body language and see the physical ability of the guy and how he measures up. You know, he's 6'4", 230. Does he look fat? Does he look plumpy? Is he a slim 230? Is he a quick 230? I think maybe those are the things you look for. I don't know. That's why Shanahan and John Lynch are making some big money, because they know more about that than sports writers who've been around 100 years. It comes down to playing and being able to be smart enough to adapt to the NFL game. I think Trey's got that ability. You know, his dad was a NFL guy. He was in the I think he played for 1 year. He was in the CFL. He was invited to the NFL combine. His mom was a volleyball player. I mean, you talk about family lineage. I mean, they got some athletes in that family. So you look at that too. I mean, where they come from and how they've grown up. I think that's all you throw into a pro day. I don't know if completing 60 passes in a day really can change your mind, but maybe it does.
Jeff, real quick, and I'm going to put the pressure on my partner, Dan Dibley, who's a big golf guy. Dibs, you want to throw a golf question at Jeff? He hosts the golf show with Jeff Kolpak on 74 The Fan.
Yeah, Jeff, just how many tears did you shed yesterday watching Stuart Sink return to the winner's circle with his son on the bag?
I love 47-year-old winners, man. There's something about that maybe it's because I'm older myself, but I love the game where you can still play it at a high level, kind of waiting for Phil to make one last shot at a major here sometime down the line, if it's a shorter course anyway. Maybe Tiger will make a comeback after his problem. But, yeah, Stewart Cink, you talk about all these young bucks hitting it at 330 yards. You know what? It comes down, golf's a mental game, man. You better be mentally tough when it comes to those, you know, last round and third round. I thought it's great for the game. I do. I just, any kind of a cool story like that. And especially when we're in a pandemic still, that
yeah,
you're kind of looking for good stories just to latch on to. And, you know, I that was awesome. That was great to see.
It just from the file of bad stories, the Siwoo Kim non-birdie, can we do something about the rule book where, I mean, the guy waits, Goo, the ball hung on the edge for about 45 seconds and finally fell in, but, oh, shot clock violation. What's going on with that?
Yeah, and they've changed the rules, too, to really be a little more lenient. I mean, leaving the pin in, I played East Lake Golf Club and East Lake Country Club. Ooh, in Atlanta.
Sure,
and Bobby Jones, he's basically the orchestrator of that course. And there's no yardage markers because Bobby Jones thought that was cheating. And so I think, what would Bobby Jones think of these new rules? You know, you could use GPS and some of these minor tours. It's changed. But 45 seconds, I don't know, it's getting there though, guys. That's a long.
Yeah, you're talking about mental toughness. It's 36 degrees today in Fargo, Dibs. I don't know when the golf season starts there, but I get the sense Jeff's probably played in some pretty tough conditions.
Passe.
Well, 60 here a couple of weeks ago. I don't know. I think the Arctic Circle returned to us or something. You know, the advent of clothing here, 36, there will be people. It's sunny. There will be people out golfing, no doubt.
Well, we like those kind of people. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much. Great information. And maybe we'll hook up with you if the 49ers end up with Trey Lance. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Jeff Kolpak, Forum Communications, North Dakota State University football beat writer. He also does the golf show on 74 The Fan. And he's the author of Horns Up and North Dakota Tough, a book on North Dakota State football. All right, when we come back, we're going to get right back into the draft, and we got Guru's lock of the day, obviously, and maybe I'll regale you with a story or two from the road. We'll see. On 95.7, The Game.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7, The Game.
Alrighty. Don't forget Golden State Warriors tonight playing the Philadelphia 76ers. That is a 4:30 tip off. But it all starts with Warriors live at 3 o'clock with Ryan Covey and John Dickinson. And Steph Curry, questionable for tonight's game, guys. And I don't know if this is part of the next segment or not, whether the Warriors are included, but it's time for Guru's Lock of the Day.
It's time for Guru's Lock of the Day.
Lock me, lady,
that is whack.
You're as cold as ice.
Hey, it's Cooper's Lock of the Day. It's brought to you by BetQL. Baseball is back. Basketball teams are battling for playoff spots, including your Golden State Warriors. Catch all the action right here on 95.7 The Game, and BetQL can help you bet on all of it. BetQL analyzes every bet from every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. It's time to get better at betting. Visit BetQL.com and use promo code BAY for 20% off. That's 20% off with promo code BAY, B-A-Y, at BetQL.com. On Friday, Goose stepped into the baseball market and took the Giants at -1.5 runs against the Marlins in Miami. It was a tie ball game in the bottom of the eighth until Starling Marte walked to the plate.
They've been good in those situations all year, though. Third best team average as Marte hits one a mile. Deep left center field. Goodbye. Three-run homer for Starling Marte. Yeah, you saved your best swing for your fourth at bat of the night. You get DeSclafani out of there.
That audio courtesy of Bally Sports Southeast. Marte, the former Pittsburgh Pirate Goose team. His three-run jack in the bottom of the eighth was the difference in a 4-1 Marlins victory. Goo's four-game win streak was snapped. He's now 23-17-2 on the season. Goo, do you think Steiny's return jinxed you early?
It had something to do with it because I was 4-0. I wanted him to come back as a winner. And Steiny, I come back and I lost that one. It hurts. And Kyle, I felt like I gave up that homer to Marte. I felt like I was on the bump.
Well, that would put you in a major league stadium pitching for a major league team. So,
it's been a dream.
When you come out of fantasy land, why don't you join us on the show and continue?
Well, I was 4-0 while you were gone.
4.3 units. Yeah, he was 4-0 without you. And the very prospect of your return, I think, led him into the negative waters, which led him to a loss. But one last look back at JD's run. 4-1 with JD, up 2.9 units with JD, up 1.4 units without him.
I'm just going to put it bluntly, I'm sick of it.
There we go. And with that, the pick is in. I got my starter jacket on, and I'm in cold-ass Boston as the Celtics host the Chicago Bulls, and the Bulls are a mess right now, and it's only Boston given 5.5, so the Celtics minus 5.5, guys. Kind of odd. Marcus Smart not playing, but Jaylen Brown and Tatum are. Big win over the Warriors Saturday. Boston stays hot, so the play is Celtics minus 5.5.
All righty. We'll
find out.
I
got one thing to add before we move on, guys. I had a great weekend. Nobody cares. Not gambling related. I don't know where you guys were at when you were 11 years old and what you were doing, but Gary Radnich was the first person I heard do sports talk radio, him and Pete Franklin. I was 20. And may have been 19. But with that said, I couldn't imagine the medium of sports radio at 11 years old. What are you going to say, Sonny?
I was going to say, is this the story you wanted to tell?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Dibs, we kind of blindsided Dibs there. But where I'm going, Dibs, is over the weekend, I caught up with my guy, Monte Hill, our guy, and I met 11-year-old Melvin from San Bruno, who recited every radio personality on our station the time Kyle and Shamari Block came up. This is Melvin, 11, a P1, and then this one almost teared up. He ends it with, "This is your boy Guru." And I just fell out like, Melvin, with that, I'm giving you love. I don't know how you find the time, but he knew Shamari and Kyle. He knew JD Covey. He knew all of us. He knew Stoddy was on vacay. No, you're coming back today. But when he hit me with, "It's your boy Guru," I almost teared up. So shout out to Melvin. Listen,
yeah.
What, 11 years old, soaking up all these nuggets.
That's great.
It's San Bruno.
Yeah, a couple things. One thing, I'm glad he didn't echo your other catchphrase of just chew it and do it because you know he's 11. But the other thing is, it's just good parenting, if you ask me. Exposing your youngster to the right sort of material. And, you know, I look back at my days as a parent, and neither one of my kids could pick me out of a radio lineup. So they prefer stations a little further down the dial from where the old man resides. So thank you, Melvin. Thank you to the parents and the caregivers of Melvin for such great guidance of the young man.
And where's Melvin from, Goo?
San Bruno, man. He
San
had Kolsky,
Bruno.
David Ratto. He had the Air Butcher, Kate. He had it down, a P1.
So the bottom line is he now usurps Big Melvin, the intern for the best Melvin in the Bay Area.
Well, you're sleeping on Bob right there.
Yeah, thank you. If you want to talk Mount Melvin more.
Get a personality, Bob, and I'll talk to you. Clearly Melvin from San Bruno.
7 in a row is on the phone. So maybe, you know.
9 in a row.
Spadoni.
Postponed tonight because of COVID, damn it.
Spadoni, where's your thumb? Is that 8? You're getting 8.
Yeah, that was 8. That was 8.
You don't do 8 with 2 4s. It makes it look like 9 in the Zoom. And by the way, the way you're showing me 3, Kyle, internationally is an insult. And thank you. It's a thumb in the 2 and a full 5, these kids.
Ever since Inglourious, can I say the name of that movie? The Brad Pitt one?
Yeah, of
with Quentin Tarantino?
Bachelors. Inglourious Bachelors.
Inglourious Bachelors. Thank you. Where he does the 3 in the bar.
I should know that because...
You should.
Yeah, that's my bad.
Yeah. I could run into that situation again, you know.
The more you know.
Bob, I'm just saying that clearly Melvin in San Bruno's got a little more pop to him than Bob Melvin, the manager of the A's.
Melvin had personality. Little man.
You don't know Bob Melvin, so for you to take a shot at him, this sort of a drive-by is wildly inappropriate. As a man who, I mean, we had Bob on weekly, and he's professional.
Oh,
he's measured. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a personality.
I didn't say he didn't have a personality. I said his personality doesn't quite pop like Melvin the 11-year-old.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to Melvin the 7-footer, I'll take Bob Melvin over.
That's our guy.
Over Melvin.
Old Mel.
Working in Utah. Hey, we got a little piece of news here that could impact the Golden State Warriors. Jalen Suggs has officially announced he's coming out. He's going to be in the NBA draft. Jalen Suggs. Warriors get him. Go ahead and order the rings again. Don't you think, Goo?
I'm done trying to procrastinate, trying to figure out if these guys are going to hit the ground running. A little slip up there. Hit the ground running, wow. Dib. So him as a Warrior is a better option than what they have now. But I'm just – I don't want it to be where do you keep the – daycare, you know, where you got to wait for the youngsters to get up and running.
Right. And he would be less in need of, quote, daycare than James Wiseman. And I would say even Jordan Poole, who now has a little bit of experience in our league. Jalen Suggs appears to be more ready-made than what Jordan Poole was when he came out. And, you know, it's always funny, Steiny's facetiousness. It's like, I didn't miss that. I didn't miss that. Go ahead and order the rings. Is that's your first take on Jalen Suggs announcing he's coming out?
No, I said if the Warriors get Jalen Suggs, they can order the rings again, right?
That is facetious. It's beyond sarcastic. It is so negatively tinged so as to turn my stomach a little bit.
Well, maybe if the Warriors got to 500, I wouldn't be as facetious. How about that? By the way,
game on real quick, Stoney. They were up 109-108 with a minute. Boston Saturday. They were up 109-108. They had it.
You know what, though? You know, and Goo, I didn't even want to do this, but now that you know, Curry turned the ball over at a real critical point in that game.
Oh, wow.
When he threw a lazy pass. I'm just saying.
If his 100 points didn't go in, they wouldn't even be in the game. But I get you.
I'm
Draymond,
just saying. Bazemore makes some free throws. Curry don't turn it over with a minute and a half to go. I mean, it's a bunch of stuff. Bunch of stuff. I don't know, man. The NBA, the way guys are shooting it right now. Let me ask you that because I was kind of thinking about this. So Steph Curry is 33 years old. So when he grew up, there was a three-point line. Because the line came in like 1980 in the pros, but in college he came in, I think, in 87. Nevertheless, do you think that guy – and Curry's kind of an anomaly, but do you think that guys are shooting the three now better than ever because they've now grown up with a three-point line on the court their entire lives? Or do you think they're shooting the three-point better because it's just – harder to guard perimeter players now because you can't touch them? What do you think about that question, Goo?
Wow. I just feel like they've manipulated basketball just on every level, has manipulated the three-pointer to the degree that we see so many. But they are shooting them better, Steiny. But at the end of the day, Steph Curry, I believe he's the pioneer, Dibs, of getting you out in the blender and getting bigs out in zones that they're not comfortable with. And it is leading to, you know, more three-pointers. But when I see Marcus Smart the other day, they put on the screen, had more career three-pointers. It wasn't Ray Allen, but it was a three-point shooter. And I'm like, this doesn't even go together. But Marcus Smart got it because we're in a game now, the NBA, to where they shoot it like they drink water. And it does take away, you know, from the records and the great shooters of old when you see average shooters now have more compiled than the what I deem great ones of the past.
Well, it's kind of like the passing stats in the NFL, where 4,000 yards used to mean you had an unbelievable year. Now, if you don't throw for 4,000 yards, you're not doing it right in the NFL, and it's partly for what Steiny was saying about the lack of defense. And it's the same in the NFL where you can't hit a receiver anymore. You can't, you know, lower the boom on a guy if he's unprotected. And, you know, they have these gloves that make it so much easier to catch the ball. It's back to the stick'em days. And so the NBA parallel is the same where you can't guard a guy. All you have to do is give a little pump fake and jump into the defender, and you're going to the free throw line. And the ability to catch, gather step, and then set 2 feet, that used to be a travel back in the day. Now, I know, Bobby Fitz, it's not. Before you come down my road tomorrow, I'm aware of the rule. I don't like the rule, but the rule is such now to where no matter how you catch the basketball, you have the ability to take 3 steps, essentially, and set yourself before you shoot a jump shot. And that's a huge advantage. And then the additional piece of what you were saying, Steiny, about growing up with the three-pointer. Because 1987, you were already out of college. So even your college career, you didn't get the benefit of a three, let alone your childhood. Nowadays, I referee CYO. I do fourth and fifth grade. And even though the three-pointer doesn't count until eighth grade, these kids are still hoisting them pregame, at halftime, during the game. It's because they grew up with the three ball.
Yeah. Getting back to the Boston game, Draymond wanted a walk on that Tatum drive. That wasn't a walk. That was a great move. Yeah. Do you agree with me?
I love you, Dre. I totally do. That was frustration, Steiny. I'm like, come on, Dre. That was a great move. Travel? Come on, dog. Yeah, that's when you tip your cap, you know.
Goo, can I tell you something that annoys me? Because I have to check the. It's part of my job, unfortunately, is to check the text line. I have to do it.
Okay, I got it. I hadn't looked at it. Okay,
I had the 408. Curry scores 47 points, and all Steiny sees is the turnover, and yet he has the gall to be upset when people call him a hater. First 15 minutes talking about Curry's greatness. And I'm just pointing out the fact that everybody made a mistake down the street. The guy's not perfect. He's a great player. Nobody's blaming him for the game. Nobody's saying they would have won without him. Everybody realized the Warriors aren't good enough, aren't good without Curry? Come on.
That's a great response.
He turned the ball over. It happens. Jeez.
By the way, it's not part of your job requirement to check the text line. In fact, it's Kyle's job to check the text line and therefore produce what would come across as content. But if you monitor the text line and something catches your eye and rankles you, and then you inject it into the program, not only do you give life to these erroneous texters, but you veer away from what's really important with the program.
What'd you think of the call? They rescinded on the Curry 3, Goo. You know, they called the foul, and they said he kicked out his – what are you laughing at, Dibs? You know the play I'm
talking laughing
about,
at
right?
Your blithe ignoring of my my coaching point, as if what I said was neither received nor pertinent. A simple thank you or a closing of the text line would go a long way toward you and then our show better. And the rescinding of
that.
The rescinding of that was absolutely appropriate, and it's sad that we're in a place where we have to even call that in the first place because that's not basketball.
Well, let's
what
do
about
this,
Curry's left-handed hook shot?
That was
did he get fouled
that
on that?
Incredible!
It was an incredible shot. Did he get fouled?
Yeah, he did. But that to me is a foul before the shot.
Right.
But with continuation, you know, we've coached these guys to where any contact. Go ahead and throw it at the rim and put the onus on the ref.
But let me say this. Now I'm watching these games, and you said it earlier, Dibs, with all these damn commercials. The review now has become a momentum changer. They went to commercial, and if they count it, Boston's got it. So you're like, you know, it's like a jury verdict, speaking of which. But you get where I'm going, Dibs? When you come back from commercial, I hate that that game was predicated on that call. And it went the Celtics' way, and guess what, Steiny? They won. But it's just like you got to go to commercial and take all that damn time. This is arguably, I believe, it was one of the greatest games this season. But it came down to I just hated we couldn't stay you know, in the game. We had to go away, come back, and then guess what? Whoever got the verdict pretty much wins the game. In Boston, it went their way.
I mean, what bothers me is these guys are already great shooters from 25 feet, and now you're telling the defense, oh, you can't guard them out there. You can't guard them. I mean, it is impossible to guard a guy like Curry, a guy like Harden. You know all the guys from three-point range, Trae Young. You cannot guard them without fouling them if they're going to continue to call the game like they're calling it. To me, it's the biggest stain right now on the game, how a guy can throw his body into somebody and just get rewarded. And the penalty is huge. I mean, it's three points for Curry. He ain't missing a foul shot.
Right. And it's the rules. It's not the refs. Let's
Correct.
Be fair about what it is.
Oh, wow.
And until the league comes out and shows you that they actually care about what the game has become, we shouldn't care either, because the league loves this. 133, 127. It's up and down. You got a lot more action in an NBA game when the ball's in play than you used to. When was the last time you saw a team other than the New York Knicks and Thibodeau actually slow it up? It's almost never happens now, Goo, where a team is going to slow it up. It's an 8-second violation instead of 10 because they want you to hurry up and shoot. An offensive rebound, you don't get a fresh clock. You get a half a clock because they want you to shoot. They want points. They want offense. They want three-pointers.
That's terrible,
and so
Dibs.
As much as Steiny, I'm totally with you. You can't guard a guy because everyone can carry the basketball. You get 3 steps on a catch and shoot. And any contact, a flail, it goes to the shooter. And to me, it's at times unwatchable, but the league doesn't want to change it.
Hey, and don't forget the catching on the dunk when they're on the fast break. What? These dudes are getting 3-4 steps sometimes to go up for the dunk. And I'm just like, just act like you didn't see that, Goo. Just act like you didn't see it. I'm going to say this, though, to both of you, Stoney, and I mean it. I come down baseball's road harder than anybody with these rule changes. I am ready for the line to be moved back. They have Steph Curry won't be affected by it. The great shooters, the Reddicks, the Steph Currys, even the Trae Youngs. But let's move the line back, man. And let's get back to some of what made basketball beautiful. And you guys are going to come down my road. I used to enjoy the Knicks and the Heat. I mean, give me some resistance. This right now is out of control. And I watched the Minnesota and Clippers. Take the Clippers out of it. You could watch two sorry teams, and they play the same way, like they got the stars that can shoot. It's just ugly right now, and it's not a good watch.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, to me, one of the most fun games that I watched all year was the NCAA championship game and the way Baylor played defense that night. And it's just like that's – you can't do that in the NBA. You can't play defense like that in the NBA. And I'm almost starting to think you can't play defense like the Warriors played 6 years ago when they had their small ball lineup, because even back then they called less touch type fouls than they do right now. It's like these guys are too good. Like, they're just too good offensively, and then you give them the benefit of the doubt of not being able to touch them. So I don't know. I think that's bigger than the block charge right now. And we'll talk to Fitz about it tomorrow. I'm sure he'll have the answers, Dibs.
Yeah, widening the court is the most natural, easy fix, Goo, to incrementally kind of do what you're talking about. Because the corner three is 22 feet, which is too easy of a shot for these guys. It's 23-9 once you get outside the corner. So if you made the whole thing 23-9, to me, would be a good start, which would involve you widening the court by about 4 feet, 2 feet on each side. Because right now the three-point line is about 3 feet from the sideline. And something that we see that we don't need to see is the player go to the corner for a catch and shoot, and his heels are on the line. That's a turnover. That to me is an annoyance that doesn't need to be there. So
if you move the
line back 1 foot 9 inches, you widen the court by, let's say, 5 feet, 2.5 feet on either side. That would open up the lane, and you would have more real two-point action as well, because all of a sudden that corner gimme three wouldn't be so easy.
Oh, man.
Size matters.
I do think that's where I would start. If it's
that's a great one,
if you could pull it off, You widen the court. You make the corner three 23-9. I would just stop right there to see what happened, because the corner three is the shot that everybody wants right now, and it's higher percentage than any other spot behind the arc. And I do agree with Dibs. If all of a sudden that shot becomes a little tougher, then maybe it's not taken as much, and now we're playing inside the arc a little bit more.
Let me come back to our referee of the show, our resident ref. Dibs, I will say this. I don't want to give the a pass to the refs in this sense, because it's one thing I see, and I see it every day. Guy goes to the rack or gets rebound. It becomes Olivia Newton-John. It's physical down there. But now the offensive player can sell with his body movements that, you know, he was dealt with too aggressively. And then it's like I flail to get the sympathy of the ref, and there's no whistle, but there's that delayed whistle like, oh, to me, and this is what he's saying, something happened because said player, you know, like he was dealt with roughly, and you get that, Stoney, do I call it bailout whistle or that late one? And it's just like, that was good defense, man. Yeah. Bodies hit each other. It wasn't a foul. Everything ain't going to be, you know, you ain't going to shoot by yourself. It's just kind of weak, though.
Sometimes there's like what I like to call a half a foul, where player A goes down and he gets bumped and he doesn't score, you don't call it. The next time down, player A, or maybe a couple trips later, player A gets the ball, he goes up to score, he gets bumped again, but again, it wasn't a whole foul, but you wait for the shot to go in or not go in. And if the shot doesn't go in, I'm going to call a late foul. My bad, late whistle. He kind of owed that player half a foul, and because it's not going to be an and one, you give him this second one in this two-play scenario. It's kind of, Stein, you know this better than anyone. And you can't really do it as much now as a ref because everything's reviewable. You used to even things out, you know, where a guy would go up and maybe get one of those half a fouls and the ball would go off of him, but you give that team the ball back anyway because, yeah, you kind of got fouled. Even though the ball went off of you, player A, we're going to give your team possession as a way to kind of even it out this trip.
Yeah, what I think is the late whistle is usually the right call, because the reason it's late is because it took a ref a split second longer to realize he missed something. So, like, nobody ever says – everybody complains about a late whistle. They don't complain about the late whistle being the wrong call. The late whistle never really bothered me at all, because usually it's something that you can't let go and you just realized it. Hey, so I just started getting into the English Premier League, and now there's another league and I'm not sure what's going on, and I was hoping we could bring in our resident soccer expert, Joe Spadoni. I'm kidding, Dibs. Dibs was pulling up to the mic, and I pulled it. I tried to schnooker him.
I'm always on the mic, and I'm remarking at Leeds with the equalizer here against Liverpool in the 87th minute. I thought that's where you were going, Llorente, off the corner.
No, I'm going with explain to me the new English Super League.
Explain to us. It was on Twitter hard, Dibs.
No, it's crazy, Goo. So basically, in Europe, they have this thing called the Champions League, where the top four teams from England, Italy, Germany, France, and Spain are in a competition with the champion of the lesser leagues, the Belgium League, the Netherlands League, etc. These 32 teams have a competition, and the European club champion is crowned. Well, the big clubs, and there's about between 12 and 16 of them, they've decided they want to break away and have their own competition called the European Super League. And it's the biggest clubs in England, the three big boys from Spain, three of the biggies from Italy, those 12 clubs. Now, the Germans aren't doing it, and the French, PSG, and other big teams in France aren't into it either. So this is not something that's unanimous among the big clubs, but they're basically saying, we want to have our own league, and we're going to do this outside of UEFA. This would be kind of like Alabama, Florida, and Texas A&M saying, you know what, we're out of the NCAA. We don't want to be in the SEC anymore. We're going to have our own league with Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, UCLA, USC, and Oregon, Notre Dame, and Clemson. We're going to form our own secret league and have this be the new sauce. And so the real bummer is that a lot of this is being brought about by club owners in pursuit just of money. It's not for the best of the sport, and it's not for the best of fans, because the Champions League, it's a fun competition. Fans really get into it. And so now there's all kinds of threats being made on both sides of the aisle as this this Super League gets debated.
So, hey, Dibs, can I try to guess the teams in the Super League now?
Sure.
And we're going by name. So I'm going to say Manchester United.
Yep, correct.
Manchester City.
Correct.
How about Chelsea? Chelsea.
Controversially, yes, they are in that group.
I got to have Juventus.
Yeah, Juventus is in.
Now I'm in trouble, but I got... How about Real Madrid?
Yeah.
Tottenham?
Tottenham, sure.
And Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool, one of the biggest controversial ones because they're owned by the same people that own the Boston Red Sox. And so this feels a little bit like an American money grab. But, yeah, you've gotten most of them.
Who are some of the other teams? What are the other two
Italian
teams?
Let me take one guess. I got one guess. Barcelona, Dibs.
Yeah, good.
Oh, that one's good, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, stay hot, Goo. The other three would be Inter Milan, the Italian club, and AC Milan, the other team in Milano, and then the people's team, Atletico Madrid, which is the second team in Madrid. So those are the core teams, and they're looking at adding a few more. And
who's going to restore order? Is there a commissioner? Like, who's
going to... Well, it's funny you say that, Goo, because UEFA, which is the organization that governs European soccer, they've now come out and said, okay, Super League players, any player who participates in the Super League will be disqualified from representing your country in the Euro tournament and in the World Cup. And you know, any pro soccer player will tell you it's country before club. Playing for your country is the greatest honor you can have as a soccer player. Playing for your club and winning a club championship would be second on the list as far as your real priorities. So this threat to where, I mean, it's a huge threat. You want to talk about trading haymakers. A guy like Cristiano Ronaldo, for example, he would be in the Super League, yet he would then not be allowed to represent Portugal. I don't know how that would play, considering he's the biggest star in their country.
So are they? They have to squeeze a season in some. When is right?
Yeah, I think I saw the timeline would be summer, which normally summer is when the international soccer teams have off. You know, the European, like the English Premier League, we're down to the final month and change, and the Champions League, we're down to the last four teams. Mm. And so that'll, you know, they've got semis where it's home and home, and then they'll play the final. I think it's in Istanbul this year. I could be wrong, but that'll be wrapped up here in the next 2 months. Domestic leagues will be wrapped up in 2 months, so I think this competition would be placed in the summer.
Gotcha. Because it doesn't impact the English Premier League.
Right, but what it does impact is it kind of gives these big clubs a huge leg up because they would be in this competition regardless. And the beauty of the Champions League is take a team like Borussia Mönchengladbach, a team that's not always great. Well, they make it in the Champions League because they have a good season. You finish top four, you qualify the next year for the Champions League, which is lucrative, but it's based on how well you've done. It's not something that just is handed to you like this Super League would be.
Gotcha. I'm thinking about loud, and Dibs, you brought this up earlier just now. So it would be like if the top 25 teams the top 20 football teams formed their own league in college football.
Right. And if you're
I don't
like
that at all.
If you're Vanderbilt, and you go undefeated in the SEC and you beat Alabama, you have a great year that one year, well, you've earned a spot in the college football playoff. And in this system, you know, clubs like West Ham United or, you know, Burnley in the English Premier League or, you know, Verona or some of the smaller clubs, they would have to, like, win their league in order to qualify for this Super League that would already have hand-picked a dozen or so clubs.
Stoney, how much time we got? I got a major cleanup on all one. Real quick, Melvin still remains at number one. My guy that I said I met yesterday, the P1, 11 years old, his actual name is Matthew, not Melvin. So shout out. Shout out, Matthew. Yeah, so what's up,
clean
Matthew?
Up on aisle goo.
I got your name messed up. Yeah, so I know you guys. Have, yeah, so I had to fix it. So Melvin still ranks number one on our all-time Melvins. Young Matthew in San Bruno, Steiny.
Gotcha. Hey, Dibs, do you know offhand how many years Lo Neal played in played for the Titans?
Played for the Titans. Well, he was 16 years in the National Football League. I believe it was two or three for the Titans.
I gotta talk to him about Nashville.
Yeah.
I bet you Lo would love that.
Steiner?
Oh, and he's a king in Nashville. When you get a chance after the show, you just try Google Wycheck, Dyson, and Neal. See if you can find the banquet footage of them reenacting the Music City Miracle and watch your guy Lo Neal just overacting with a shimmy shake on the stage. He goes back to Nashville goo, and he is a local hero.
It's good to know. Good to know. By the way, Guru passing along that MLB has registered the most watched 18-day period in its 20-season history. So apparently people watch a little baseball. All right. Remember, Golden State Warriors playing the Philadelphia 76ers at 4:30. Warriors Live coming at you at 3 with JD and Ryan Covey. Thanks for listening, everybody.